ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் டிவைன் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் ஹைலைட்ஸ் ஆஃப் உபனிஷத்ஸ். த டைட்டில் இஸ் பிரஷ்ன உபனிஷத்ஸ் அண்ட் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆன்சர்ஸ், பிரசன்டட் பை சுவாமி ஜோதிர் மயானந்தா. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய்.
The idea of attaining something profound by letting the ego dissolve, that has to enter the mind. And in that is the key to your spiritual advancement. How much can you work upon your ego? Ego has three levels: sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Tamasic ego holds on to hatred, revenge, and holds on to all this in a most irrational way. People hold on to grudge that continues for many years, sometimes continues for many generations. That's tamasic. All the horror-based movements in the world are based upon tamasic ego. Rajasic ego goes after material attainments, those three points that we said: progeny, lot of wealth, lot of fame. Your rajasic mind goes after. Naturally, your rajasic mind encounters lot of friends and enemies, raga dvesha, attachment and hatred. Sattvic mind, on the other hand, puts you in a more relaxed way and turns your ego into something that is transparent. So even though you have ego, you don't become proud or conceited. You are seeing what is beyond your ego. Beyond your ego is profound calmness, stillness. And you begin to center yourself into that transcendental state. And that's the purpose of profound religion. So now the question, we're coming into the topic. How many gods sustain the living beings? Of these, how many gods illumine the body? And which god is the greatest of them all? You are being led to understand first the idea there are so many gods. Gradually you understand something profound. Tasmai sa hovacha akasho hava esha devo vayu agniraya prithvi, etc. The akasha is space, air, fire, water, earth, speech means organs of action, jnanendriyas, senses of perception, your eyes, your ears, as well as the mind. All these are the gods that sustain your body. You being the jiva, individual soul, and your body is a miniature cosmos. The whole universe and its resources are implied in your body. Now the question: which god is the greatest? Of so many have gone to evolve your body, so many sustain your body. Of all these different gods, which god should your mind go after as the highest? They began to express their greatness. Now there is a dramatization. When that question was raised, all the different aspects of your personality, your eyes began to declare, we are the ones, the greatest in this body. Without the eyes, what will we do? Ears said, we are the greatest. The tongue said, if it doesn't flicker, how can you nourish yourself? Hands and feet, they shouted, without us, what will you do? Mind, intellect, senses, all started crying, we are the greater. Prana, the life principle, began to walk out of the body. As the prana started walking out, all these who were crying, they were the greatest, they followed prana as if they are all bonded with prana. So prana didn't have much trouble to prove that prana was the greatest. But when we talk of prana, your mind is led to vital forces. Vital forces are the characteristic of life. Anyone born has to have vitality. The heart must palpitate, the body must be alive. The life principle. But life principle again is you are being pointed out as an allegorical. Real life principle, life of life, is consciousness. But to understand consciousness is not easy. So your mind is led. First, understand the importance, the glory of life. If that life is not there, nothing can you accomplish. And all the senses, mind, etc. will have no function. They will all become ineffective. Greatest of them all, prana, said, "Do not be deluded, it is I who, having divided myself in the form of 5 pranas, sustain the body." Hearing this, the gods didn't believe. The idea is, in the 4th verse, then the prana, out of indignation, as it were, proceeded to go out of the body. The other gods began to get out of the body as well, perforce, helplessly. As prana started, all other gods were drawn like a magnetic pull. When the prana returned, the other gods returned into the body. Just as the bees go out when the queen bee goes out. And they return when the queen bee returns. Seeing the glory of prana, the gods began to praise the supreme deity, prana. So now you are being introduced to pranopasana. View prana within you as God's representative. Just as every moment you are depending upon prana. Likewise, go to higher rung. The real prana, prana of prana, even the pranic functions are controlled, sustained by the divine, which is pure consciousness. Importance of life is easy to understand. So that's how you are being introduced. But importance of consciousness, it should be easier. But not so easy for the masses. But prana becomes your step leading towards the absolute prana. Esha agni tapat esha surya, esha parjanyo magavan, esha vayuresha prithvi rajir deva sadasat cha amritam cha yat. This prana manifesting as fire burns. It shines as the sun. Prana is cosmic vitality. The entire universe is sustained by a cosmic vital plane. And that cosmic vitality operates in you in the form of vital forces sustaining the body. Even the ordinary breathing is possible only because of the cosmic prana. That cosmic energy that is directing the movements of all the stars and planets, that cosmic energy that allowing the earth to go around the sun. That cosmic vitality is operating in every individual. That cosmic vitality operating in, even in little grass. How does it grow? Blossoming flowers, birds, animals, insects. The entire world is inundated by cosmic prana. And that very cosmic prana is sustaining you. So therefore, try to relate yourself to that cosmic presence and don't let your ego bring about a separation from this cosmic expansion. This prana is the source of pravritti, which I have explained. It is Rai, moon-based experience. Experiences where your ego does not dissolve, but you have mental satisfaction. Experiences where your happiness is not direct, but reflected happiness. All that pravritti-based goal has its root in that prana. The sun is the basis of all the functions of the moon. Moon showers nectarine rays. Moon doesn't shower it. Moon doesn't have it. It comes from the sun. Much in the way, same way, through the world you find lots of attainments. The world doesn't give you these attainments. It comes from the divine. Ara yuva rathanabhav prane sarvam pratishthitam richo yajonsi samani yajna kshatram brahmacha. The revelations of Rik, Yajur, Samvedas, all the knowledge given by scriptures, all the rituals enjoined by the Vedas, all the advanced classes of human beings, as well as all living beings, are rooted in that cosmic life. Cosmic life is the God. Just as the spokes are rooted in the navel of a wheel, spokes in a wheel, allegorical way of saying, the world process is described like a wheel. Every soul is involved in karmic process. Virtue, vice. Virtue leads to pleasure. Vice leads to pain. Pleasure creates attachment, raga. Pain creates dvesha, hatred. Virtue, vice, pleasure, pain, attachment, hatred. Six spokes. And all these spokes are rooted in ego awareness. And the reality behind your ego is the cosmic self. As that revelation enters, this is now a prayer to that prana. O prana, you are Prajapati. You are the Lord of all beings. You move about in the womb and you are born in the likeness of parents. These are highly allegorical statements. All are born in the image of God. Until you understand it, at least you understand they are born in the image of the parents. Either you work upon letting the children grow into your image, or try to understand, let them grow into the image of God. God is the reality. your image doesn't exist. And it is that prana, pure consciousness, that's the source of all. And everyone grows in the world, comes into the world in his image. And your spiritual movement is how to become divine, how to develop divine qualities until the very ego dissolves. And with this I'm going to conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Namaste, Swamiji. Swamiji, is Brahmalok a plane of existence, like where all souls reside after an incarnation? Is that a place where the souls go? And perhaps there's a rest time? Is there more learning, more growth, expansion?
Let me listen to her. Yeah.
Before it ready, it takes incarnation.
Please repeat it again.
Is Brahmalok a plane of existence where the jivas or souls reside after an incarnation? After one incarnation, it goes to some place of a plane of existence, and there, does it continue like learning and growing, expansion of consciousness or whatever, before it decides to incarnate again?
Lokas, they are not easily understood by people. They always think of somewhere in this universe there are planes. But lokas are different stages of experience in every individual. Say, for example, if you are simply thinking of food, where to go and have a very nice food, and in that plane, then called Bhur Loka. If you are enjoying artistic things, dance, music, arts, feeling-based experience, then you are in Bhuvar Loka. If your experience is clarity of intellect, your understanding is growing, it can be relative type or it can be intuitional type. If it is relative type, it is Brahmaloka. Intuitional type, you are going even beyond Brahmaloka. The goal is to go beyond these lokas. But if mind is not enlightened, then it stays with these lokas. That's the locus.
But at a time when a soul decides it is ready to reincarnate now and come back.
The soul, after leaving the body, stays with the subtle body. The only difference is, physical body is not there. Even while you are with your physical body, you are not in one loka. You are moving from loka to loka depending upon the experience. Early in the morning, you may be in Brahmaloka. Time passes by, you come into more artistic things, etc. Then you become Bhuvar Loka. And sometimes go down even further. So, but after death, the soul has all the subtle body. Therefore, those experiences continue with the soul, only it is just like you experience dream. The experience after death is more intense. Experience while body is there has a certain limit or control. In other words, if there is a negative karma, it can give you terrible, intense pain. To a certain extent, pain you will experience, but then will pass out. Body is a valve that controls the experience of pain. But after death, there is no valve. Therefore, the experience is intense. So if it is a pleasant experience, it will be intense. It's called heaven. If it's an unpleasant experience, it will be intense. That will be hell. So the soul may go through either heaven or hell. It's not going anywhere. It's this mind and the subtle body is with it. But after the karmic maturity comes in for the soul to incarnate. Now the soul comes and links itself to the physical body. Now the experience of heaven and hell is regulated by the nervous system. But while all this goes on, purushartha of the soul goes on changing the karmic pattern. Whether you will be more in Brahmaloka or in Bhuvarloka, all depends upon your purushartha. And ultimate goal of your purushartha is not to be in these lokas.
It's to be Brahma. Liberated. The goal is to be liberated.
Liberation.
Not to come back.
No.
But supposing now, if a soul decides it's going to come back now, does that soul have the ability or the free choice to choose who its family is going to be, like the parents, the kids, and choose a life plan before it comes back here?
Soul is led by a karmic process. Soul does not choose. It's a result of karma. Certain karmas have gone on, good and bad. See, just like, think of accounting. Money matters. Throughout the year, you go on handling money. In the end, you ask the accountant, what's the situation?
So life is just
and
unfolding.
That is not under your control now.
Right. So life is just unfolding as you act.
Yeah.
As you act.
You go on creating your karmas,
right.
But if you are focused on God and sadhana, then automatically divine will begins to give you a bigger range of self-effort. And divine grace lifts you up past. So therefore ultimately you are not counting upon the lokas.
Yeah. Hmm?
Then you follow the path of bhakti and mukti.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Okay.